When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers.
Yes, it is that time of year. We have passed spooky season. We are now in wonderful Thanksgiving joy. We are ready for food.
I'm not going to lie. I know we're a couple days after Halloween, but I did go to a Halloween store today and bought some Halloween stuff because it never stops being Halloween. I got another witch hat. Very excited about it. It has a bunch of spider webs on the bottom. And then I also got a wig so I could play Ghost Spider. I found the perfect wig. So I'm working on a Ghost Spider costume. The costume from the children's television show that my granddaughter is thoroughly in love with. So
Gwen Stacy goodness there. So yeah. Yay. No, we went and got some clearance Halloween candy, of course. And then we found a little blow mold ghosty with a puppy ghost. So yeah, we bought some half price stuff too.
You got to buy the half price items. I mean, it's the perfect time of year to stock up. And it's my favorite time of year because all of the candy corn candy goes on sale. And I love candy corn candy.
I do too. I bought a bag today. Everybody's like, oh, that's all that's left. I'm like, that's fine with me. Great. More for me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have to say, though, I was thinking about it today because I knew we were going to record. And I was like, the candy corn pumpkins, I think, are my favorite.
They are the best. They are the best. I mean, they all taste exactly the same. It's just the pumpkins. I don't know, something about the thickness and everything. It just, it pops. It's good.
Is it all about how thick it is there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm a candy corn size hog. Can't help it. So.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today? What is happening?
Everybody's been flipping out about this damn comet coming to us. You know, this interstellar visitor that's coming in. And everybody's convinced it's an alien spacecraft and that it's got all these other aliens coming and all this stuff. So it's aliens, aliens, aliens. Everybody's, Mark, what's your theory on the alien invasion? All this. I'm like, we were already invaded in 1973 and no one talks about it. And I'm
there
like, and that amounted
to. I'm sure talk about it that nobody listens to.
Right.
But what are you talking about? Because I was born in, were you talking about me? Because I was born in 1973.
Now, see, I was 2 years old in 1973.
I know how much older you are than I am.
Yeah, even though landmark in UFOlogy, right? Sometimes some people do say the 1973 UFO flap, but it was a massive, massive wave of sightings. They particularly peak in the fall and mostly across southern, midwestern United States, but there were significant cases worldwide.
Well, I feel like we're going to go into the way back machine to one of my favorite decades. So I'm going to put on my bell bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put on my flower child shirt.
Yeah.
I'm also going to grab a bunch of McDonald's because it tasted better back then.
Yeah. I remember when they introduced the filet of fish. Heck yeah.
Oh yeah. So let's. And the Happy Meal. Let's
fish commercials.
Yeah.
They had filet of fish commercials back then. That's how important filet of fish was. Try to find a filet of fish now. It's not even on their menu, even though they still sell it. It's like they don't want to sell it.
It's the redheaded stepchild. Shouldn't be. Used to be one of my faves.
Oh, yeah. So, all right.
Especially when they did the double filet of fish.
Oh, man. That was just gold with the cheese in the middle. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. So this flap. Oh, my gosh. We are talking the full gamut here.
Okay.
Close encounters of the first kind, the second kind, the third kind, and the fourth kind. I have so many reports of optical trace cases.
Okay, and so wait a minute. Let's just clarify for anybody listening who doesn't know what those are besides a really cool Steven Spielberg movie. What is a close encounter of the first kind?
All right, first kind is basically a visual sighting of an unidentified flying object that's usually within 500 feet. So those ones you see in the deep distance, those don't count as a close encounter. They're an encounter, but not a close encounter, right?
Okay, now, so what is a close encounter of the second kind?
Okay, second kind is when you actually have some physical effects, such as like, you know, there's scorched earth or broken tree branches or radiation burns on people, tangible evidence of unusual event of some sort, right?
Okay.
Could be and the eyes burning, stuff like that from people. All right. Third kind?
Yeah.
That's an entity is present, such as humanoid or robot or people who are the occupants or pilots of the UFOs. They're the hardest to determine because there's usually not a lot of physical proof of these.
Okay, then what's the fourth kind? Because I don't know that I've ever heard of a fourth kind.
Well, fourth kind is abductions by extraterrestrials.
Oh, that's when you're, hard pass on that. Yeah.
Yeah, generally taken against your will. So that's basically the meanings, right?
Okay. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. Did that help?
That did help. I didn't know about the fourth kind. I don't want to be abducted. I do not need an anal probe. Can we? Okay. I got my bell bottoms. Let's go, though.
All right. So these pretty much come from reports from groups like MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, NICAP, which is the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena.
That is a mouthful.
That's why it's called NICAP. And then QFOS, which is the Center for UFO Studies. But I've also got some journalist stuff. I've got some government agencies reported this. And we are talking hundreds of credible events from the classic, you know, lights in the sky to landed craft to overt abductions and close encounters.
Wow. So you are really trying to piss off our lovely friends X and
liaison. Yep.
Liaison.
100%.
Okay. Well, got my candy corn because that was the snack back then. And let's do this.
All right. So now I've got a few witness statements on some of these. I've got a lot of lesser known reports. And I'm trying to just get you the best I can on these. Some of these I haven't even really done deep dives into, but I'm going to break it down month by month. So we'll get through the first half of the year, at least before the break, hopefully. And then in the fall of 1973, it exploded to a level I don't think I've seen. You know, the 1952 flap was pretty big. We discussed that before. I think this is the biggest year that ever happened. So,
well,
all right.
That makes
Are
sense.
You ready?
I'm ready. It was the year of my birth. Let's do this. Let's see what my coming brought upon this world.
Okay. So let's start with New Year's Day of 1973.
Okay. I wasn't born yet. Continue.
All right. We're going to go to Osamo, Chile.
Oh.
Osamo, Chile. Now, this one was interesting. A disc with green lights and a flashing red light flew over a car, and it killed the engine of this car on a road right there in the middle of nowhere. So the Osmo incident involved electromagnetic field issues. Now, this motif will come back later in the year.
This is the second kind. We're at a number two right now, right?
Right off the bat, right? Driver report of engine and it involuntarily restart. So this backs up claims that UFOs can disrupt or activate random systems, right? You always see that in the movies where the radio suddenly comes on, the lights go on and off, that sort of thing. That's New Year's Day. That's where we're starting. That's how many we're going to hit here. January 2nd, we're coming back up to America. We're going to go to Santa Ana, California.
Okay.
Now, this one had multiple witnesses, at least 8. They describe a large oval-shaped object with a dome hovering over the town of Santa Ana. It was labeled silvery gray and elliptical, like two saucers fastened rim to rim, was one of the witness statements, with a band of brilliant amber light rotating and emitting a generator-like hum sound. And some say they saw a rectangular door on its underside and two protruding antenna on the top. Pretty crazy, right?
So are you talking Santa Ana, California?
Yep, Santa Ana, California.
Wow. Wow.
So this
okay.
is not BFE or anything like that, right? And now one of the witness statements was, it spun like a child's top and a hum like an electric generator. So.
We don't talk about them making noise a lot, but that kind of makes sense. I mean, you'd think keeping a craft that size, I mean, a jet plane makes a ton of noise when it's taking off.
Yeah, and this was like a hum.
Yeah.
So some people said, you know, the skeptics dismiss this as a blimp. But these people know what the Goodyear blimp looks like. They know what some of the other blimps look like. Santa Ana is in a military fly zone. So maybe this was a test program of some sort, especially with structural features like doors and antenna. So that does make this a credible sighting for me. That makes this one seem a little more real because the details are crazy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we got a military sighting, January 15th. Now this one's not reported a lot. But which is bright because there's not really a lot on it. So January 15th in the South China Sea between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. This is an ammunition ship, the USS Mauna Kea, and it was loading nuclear missiles. And a witness saw an orb about the size of a car approach within 10 feet of the ship. They went to alert and then it shot up into the sky. So that's all we've got on the report.
So you're telling me the aliens noped out when they saw the nuclear weapons?
It's something like that. I mean, the cool thing about
that's
this,
what it sounds like to me is they went up and they're like, hey, what are you? Oh, that's what you're doing. Never mind. We're out.
So the thing is, this report was redacted for a long time because it was military involving nuclear capabilities and very sensitive military operation. So only recently has this report come out and was able to be added to the 1973 database.
Wow.
All right. So the next day, January 16th, we're going to go to South Africa, Queenstown, South Africa. Now, this is our first third kind. A witness reports a tall humanoid figure in a silvery suit near Queenstown. Now, this was actually in a newspaper and later got through Skylook magazine in April of that year. He didn't see a UFO. He just saw this strange figure in a silvery suit. It's going to come back later. Trust me.
Okay, so, I was like, was he smoking something that day?
But we're going to get a lot of silvery suits throughout this year, okay, across many continents. So that's just, it's one of those things, just. We don't have much on that report other than that newspaper report and that Skylook, you know, reported it later. Skylook was one of those UFO mags that were big in the 70s. All right. January 19th. We're still in January. January 19th. This is in Argentina, Tres Arroyas. Again, another humanoid figure. And again, a silvery suit. No real other details provided, just that it was in a mountain area, and this guy saw this thing, and then it blinked out, like it disappeared. And
interesting.
Very interesting. Okay, so Cherokee County, South Carolina. Don't have an exact date, but there was a wave of sightings. Hundreds of UFO sightings reported, and they observed forms including cylindrical and cigar-shaped, triangular ships, and round like a saucer with a cabin on top. And one night alone, this was in February 5th, so that one I do have a date, 50-plus cars gathered on a roadside to watch this, and the police had to break them up. because they stopped and would not leave, waiting for them to come back.
Wow. What's interesting is that they're different. The reason I say that is because you kind of go, you know, are they like cars? Meaning you get different makes and models with different features or?
Right.
I think it's in the latest triangular shaped. Anyway.
Yep. No, the Cherokee County Wave, basically, a lot of people said it was mass hysteria, right? But the police had hundreds of calls with object shapes varying, but the details were very consistent. They hovered, they were silent, and they were very non-conventional forms of travel. So
I wonder if there was like, you know how they have over in like Gatlinburg and stuff, they have like the mini car rallies and all that kind of stuff.
The Jeep rally. Yeah. Stuff like that. So yeah.
This is the UFO rally. I'm sure. You know, like,
let's hit Cherokee County, South Carolina on Earth. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Let's all meet up there. That sounds cool.
I love Douglas Adams. He used to talk about teasers. Ford Prefect used to write in with teasers. What are teasers? And he's like, oh, they're rich kids with too much money and they fly around undeveloped worlds and they land in front of somebody nobody will ever believe, and they make beep beep noises.
Oh, that's pretty accurate, though.
Okay, that's January.
Okay.
February. A shorter month, but oh my gosh. So, Wood River Junction, Rhode Island, there are tons of witnesses. And again, we got second kind here because vehicle interference. 250 people supposedly saw a huge bright light hovering soundlessly at treetop level near the United Nuclear Core plant. Military aircraft were observed patrolling post-sighting. Now, this one reporter, Thomas Gareppi, noted, many have claimed that the object was huge, with estimates ranging from bigger than a car to half the size of a house. Now, this is a mass sighting near a sensitive military installation with corroboration, including a professional journalist documenting it. That's perfect, right? That's everything you could want in a UFO sighting. I'm not sure the exact date on that. It was just February 1973, because it was over a few day period. So February 2nd, this is the Ahura Beacon of Auckland, New Zealand, reported that same day, this was an intense blue-white light, and it paced an airliner for 20 to 25 seconds, and the navigation instruments spun at about 12 revolutions per minute.
That's not good.
That's not good at all. But the plane regained control and the light went away. So, what was that? You know, and this is in a newspaper. So, they reported the plane having weird incidents with a light. Okay. Now, Kimba, which is South Australia, just 2 days later, February 4th, four witnesses, multiple vehicles, saw a rectangular orange window with floating white humanoid inside. Some say he was wearing some sort of spacesuit, something, and it landed and it looked like a window pane. And it opened, this creature inside, and then it took off. No ground marks found in the area, though, nothing disturbed. And one witness is, quote, the figure's wearing a white spacesuit and floating in the middle of this light doorway. It was definitely rectangular with a firm outline. And no tracks, evidence. The investigator's like, I don't know. So.
A window. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That sound like something we've seen before or heard since?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, wow.
That's got to be really freaky because this is, of course, a time when, like, digital cameras didn't exist. Like, if you wanted to, I think the thing people don't realize is that when you have these things, your brain has to calculate what the hell is going on. Right. But it's not like you had a camera where you could just go click or videotape it. You know?
Early 70s, and you didn't have even the disposable cameras then. You had to have a big camera with film. It's just,
Yeah, I don't even know Polaroids were around. We could Google
I don't think
that.
They were. February 8th, back up to California, Teneo, California, C-O-N-E-J-O. I don't know. I've never been there. So, but a bunch of kids, huh?
Neither have I.
Okay. Bunch of kids photographed a disc-shaped object. And analysis says, we can't figure out what this is. It doesn't look like a hoax. So this is one of those rare sightings where the photograph was kind of judged trustworthy.
Where was it?
Huh?
I need to Google this photograph.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The Caneo, C-O-N-E-J-O, February 8th. I probably should have loaded up some of the camera photos and illustrations of some of the sightings. But,
okay.
All right.
Go.
I'm going to go on while you're doing that, because that same day in Pana, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Do you see the picture?
Yeah.
You want to share it on the screen? I think you can. I'm not sure.
I can, yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Put that on for our few YouTube viewers when this actually airs on YouTube. So, but that same day, Illinois, Pana, Illinois, again, three boys report seeing an orange ball that darkened in response to car headlights, but then reappeared minutes later.
Wow.
What do you think of that picture, right? That's kind of crazy.
That's amazing.
Yep. All right. So, yeah. So an orange ball that darkens in response to car headlights and then reappears. Interesting.
Wow.
Now, the 9th of February, St. Albans, United Kingdom, again, a bright yellow sphere hovers low over the road. And guess what it does? Restarts a car engine as it flies by.
Restarts or turns off?
No, it turns off and then restarts it as it leaves.
Wow.
Turns it off as it comes in, restarts as it leaves. That sound familiar? We've already said one of those. Oh my gosh, we're still in February. We might have to do a two-part on this. February 14th, McAllister, Oklahoma. Now this one, a disc with a dome maneuvered around a DC-8 aircraft, and it was confirmed by airborne radar.
Oh, wow.
And when the pilot looked out, he said he saw shadowy figures in the dome area of the craft.
That is creepy.
February 21st, Elsinore, Missouri. Now, this is a six-witness close encounter, right? Object with a row of lights hovering at about 50 feet altitude. Now, Reggie Boone said it looked like it was about 200 yards over the road, hovering on an open field. We saw four lights that looked like portholes, red, green, amber, white. Then all of a sudden, the lights went directly up in the air with absolutely no noise and just disappeared in a minute.
Wow.
That's a MUFON report. So, all right, February 11th, Kimba, Australia.
This is probably going to end up having to be a two-parter. We're almost at the break, and we're still in February.
So two humanoid figures reported by witnesses, and they said that it was just this strange humanoid figure with silver clothing. What?
Wow.
Again, don't have much on that one.
I heard silver lame was very hard to come by in 1973.
Everybody thinks the disco suits, but that was later. That was much later. All right. This is in New South Wales, Australia. This was late February. Don't have the exact date, but again, a couple witnessed a golden ball that changed color to green, approached their car, killed it, would not start, headlights dim. Smaller red orbs were seen to detach from the main ball. This is one Spielberg used.
Oh, wow. That's creepy.
Yep.
Probes.
Now we're into March.
Okay, let's hear about my time.
Okay, March 1st, Sailors Lake, Pennsylvania. Now, this is a wave on over multiple days. A three-hour period for the most part. Over on it, it happened a few more times. 42 objects in that three-hour period with flashing lights were seen. State Trooper Jeffrey Hauntz described them as like a Christmas tree flying in the air. Mrs. Howard Pfeiffer said the first one came so close, I felt I could reach up and touch it. There was no noise, no sparks, no anything. This is one of the first few large-scale multi-object events with an official police officer remark and many detailed witness descriptions. So this is one of those. I could do a deep dive just on this sighting alone. So remember that one. All right. March 7th, somewhere over South Carolina, this strange, weird photograph was taken. I almost don't count this one because there is almost no documentation on that one. Just March 7th, South Carolina UFO photo. So I don't know why I brought it up. It was just one of those. When I'm doing March, I'm like, all right, came up.
Yeah, I know where them good old boys took a picture.
Yep. Now, Eastern Pennsylvania, there was also another sighting with a round and oval lighted object. And this one was Police Chief Harold Kostenbader. He saw the object on March 20th, which was after the initial sighting wave. March 14th, Earl Tumbaugh in Piedmont, Missouri, said, "When the lightning flashed, I saw a dome shape with sort of an antenna at the top. The amber light was shining from the antenna. It was about 15 to 20 feet in diameter."
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
They're very similar sightings. What's interesting, too, is we have to remember these weren't like all on in newspapers and stuff like that.
No, most of these didn't get reported till August or, you know, April through August. You remember the papers were a month later for these magazines to pick these up and stuff. So March 15th, back to Pennsylvania, Milton, Pennsylvania. Police received calls about a giant ball moving rapidly across the sky, and witnesses said it made a 90-degree turn to avoid a plane that was in the air.
Oh, wow.
90-degree turn. Our planes today still can't do that.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's some fancy flying for back then.
All right. March 22nd, Grand Tower, Illinois. This was at a power plant. At 9:15 p.m., an object hovered over the power plant at about 1,500 feet altitude, and it was described as a ring of lighted panels that pulsed in a clockwise rotation.
Oh, wow.
And that was actually a newspaper clipping I was able to pull up. So, all right. April 1st through the 8th, Los Angeles, California.
Oh, you got to love Los Angeles, California, don't you?
Yep. We talked about the unknown invasion that happened right during World War II. But 16 sightings of a round or egg-shaped object. And it all went basically through the first week of April over various parts of Los Angeles. People thought it was a movie promo or something. And it was reported numerous times.
So just some street racing by our little green men up there that are not all little green men.
April 4th, Hasselbeck, Germany. Two silver-suited entities were absorbed examining the ground of one area and holding a flashing box. Now, that sounds like guys holding a Geiger counter or something like that. But then they vanished without a trace in the blink of an eye.
Wow.
So they were beamed up or something. April 5th, this is in Manor, Pennsylvania. Again, a silver-suited entity seen on Penn Wagley Road. That's all I got. It's a police report.
Wow.
All right. Charleston, Missouri, April 6th. This is Dorothy Thompson saw an egg-shaped object at treetop level, and her TV set went off and on, and then there was a strange flash of light in her kitchen.
I don't love that.
And then she experienced what she thought was 2 hours disappeared from her.
Oh, loss of time. Well, that's an indicator.
Missing time. Now, remember, this is before that became a big, well-known phenomena.
Wow. So. Well, you know what, though, Mark? We're at the halfway mark. We're going to have to pause for our break.
All right, then.
I know it's hard to stop you. You're on a roll.
I'm on a roll, and we've got three more just for April 6th. We'll be right back. Oh my gosh.
Okay. April 6th. I'm good.
Are you ready? We got two in Missouri.
Let's do this.
Two in Missouri on the same night. One's in Charleston and one's in Elsinore. In Charleston, Mrs. Dorothy Thompson sees an egg-shaped craft. I talked about that one in the kitchen. Elsinore, Missouri, same night, not too far away, a disc with portholes and landing gear landed in the woods, three holes in a triangular pattern. There was damaged foliage. That makes this a second kind. All right. Then that same night, Rhode Island, reddish-orange object passes over a car. The lights dim, the engine falters, and the object seems surrounded by a green haze.
Wow.
So, does these all sound like stuff that would lead Spielberg to do Close Encounters? Right? Exactly. So April 12th, still in Missouri, Piedmont, Missouri. This was a Cessna was flying, and they saw an orange ball of light about 2,500 feet altitude. And as the pilot turned towards it, it just vanished. Now, on that same night in Farmington, Missouri, a Piper Cherokee also saw a strange ball of light and decided to try to chase it until it vanished without a trace.
Oh, my goodness.
So two pilots saw that one on the same night, not too far away from each other. Okay. Whew, we're getting there. April 15th, Manor, Pennsylvania. A disc-shaped object came within 70 feet of a car. The headlights dim, and they see a humanoid form floating at the end of a cord from the UFO, like it was dangling outside of it. The object then emanated a high-pitched sound and illuminated the area with what seemed like a sound ray. Witnesses say from the left side of the UFO, a line or cord extended some 30 yards. At the end of the cord floated some sort of man about 8 to 10 feet tall, and it looked like the Apollo astronauts walking in space. When the object departed, the headlights came right back on.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, right?
I think this disruption's an interesting aspect of this.
Yeah.
I think it's like an MMP, what is it called?
The EMP, electromagnetic phenomena. I am convinced that is like most of this is what's going on. That's why the cars die and then suddenly, or they'll just turn on. I remember, we didn't understand EMP very much back then. I mean, scientists knew a lot about it from nuclear attacks and stuff. But as people, you know, general public weren't aware of it. So
no, it's totally bizarre.
Yeah. So April 19th, back in Missouri, Stoddard County, at least three UFOs were reported on the same night. I think it's just one seen by three different people. And it, every one of them said changed color and moved irregularly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Orange, green, yellow, green, various things like that.
I mean, there was a drunk alien inside. I can't find the right buttons.
That's what Bo yells at us when we're doing these episodes. We're pushing the button. Stop pushing the button. All right, so April 22nd, I got one with very sparse information, which is the Guadalcanal in Spain. Again, four yellow lights buzz a car. The car dies. And there are actual burn marks found at that site, though.
Oh, wow.
A police investigation of the area. So April 24th, Spring Mills, Pennsylvania. Three adults spot an oval-shaped fluorescent white UFO hovering. Again, it changes colors, white to blue and then blue to green. And then it speeds away instantly.
You know what's interesting is sitting back listening to this, and I'm sure our travelers are hearing it too. There are lots of other places, but there's a lot concentrated in Pennsylvania and a lot concentrated in Missouri so far.
Yep, that seems to be the hot spots. Well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay.
Well, all right. And again, we're going to go to Pennsylvania for April 29th. This is in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. This one has a landing. UFO landed on Burnside Mountain, described as having a big bubble and silver light. Many people saw it through binoculars after they watched the color go down. The vehicle took off a short time later before anybody could hike up the mountain to it.
Oh, wow.
All right. And then April 30th, now again, Kempsey, New South Wales, Australia, four teenagers see an egg-shaped craft, reddish-orange, with a dome. And it landed, and again, their car died as they saw it.
Well, I'm just going to say this one with a dome must be an older model because we don't really see those anymore.
But still occasionally.
I know, but I feel like it's the VW bug of the UFO world. Like,
yeah,
You still see them, but not all the time. Can't play punch buggy as much.
I like to think that it's just different places coming. So, you know, it's like they got the Volkswagen, like you said, and then maybe a Toyota, and then maybe a Prius comes by. They all look different. So,
yeah.
All right, we made it to May.
Okay.
May 6th, Kokomo, Indiana. All I've got there is, again, a humanoid, this time green. I just see the case report. I've got no details because military say this is a classified operation.
Of course it is. Oh.
May 11th, Piedmont, Missouri.
Piedmont's a hot spot.
Yep. Seven lights seen for 45 seconds appear and blank out. Now, I think that might have been Chinese lanterns or something like that. That's my go-to on that. When you see a bunch of lights in a row and then they just disappear, that's my theory on this.
Okay.
That's my earthly theory.
It's in Piedmont, which is apparently a hot spot.
That's why I kept stumbling on it. Okay, now May 12th, Kent, Ohio. Now, this is an area I grew up in. They saw a football-shaped object with flashing lights and a silver-skinned or suited figure inside who had to be about two and a half feet tall with silver boots. They watched it descend to the highway. The creature step out, wave some sort of wand, get back in, and then ascend. All within minutes.
I wonder if they were taking air readings.
Something.
Can we breathe here?
Yep. Ah. Yeah. No. Yep. Yeah. Who knows? They were like, Ohio, we're out. All right. May 18th, Pelican, Illinois. Again, another orange glowing domed object. This one hovered over Edison Junior High School. Again, made no sound. Dozens of witness reports.
Oh, wow.
No investigation.
Hmm.
So, remember, this is after Project Blue Book's been banned.
Yeah.
So this is all just reports to various magazines, newspapers, stuff like that. Peoria, Illinois, May 23rd. This time, around midnight, a woman reported, "I saw an oval object with a pulsing light very near and above my backyard. I was paralyzed for a short time and stood in awe of it. I could see figures inside. They were very shadowy. I couldn't tell what they really looked like." She did not report this for 2 weeks because she was so terrified to leave her house. All right. June 1st. This is actually in Mexico. Ciudad Pemex. Five witnesses, including airport staff, saw a luminous object land on their runway and a 4 meter tall metallic silver humanoid emerged briefly, and then the craft departed at high speed. I like to think that was the guy who went, "Wait, this isn't my stop, right?" Yeah.
And then he's probably like, "Fred, you did turn the invisibility off." Damn it.
This isn't the Mouton Nebula. What the hell are we doing here, James? All right, sorry. I got confused. The landing lights confused me here. All right, June 2nd. This is back in Illinois. This is in Divermon, Illinois. I'm sure I'm pronouncing these wrong, guys. I'm sorry, Divernon, Illinois. Or Divernon? I don't know. Anyway, UFO with bright lights turned onto a road. Again, large orange red light beneath, and it illuminated the landscape around it. Again, no sound.
Oh, wow.
Three witnesses reported. June 7th, Souza, Brazil, a yellow fireball approached, and they thought it was a meteor, and then it just stops 50 meters away. Witnesses felt a prickling sensation on their necks and their hands, and later they would suffer intense headaches after it just flew straight into the air and disappeared from sight.
Oh, wow. It whammied them.
Yeah. Princeton, Illinois, June 14th. Three girls saw a silver, gray, and black flying object with a green light. Two other objects join, and then they all disappear.
Sounds like a Powerpuff Girl.
Could have been.
Awesome.
All right, back to Missouri.
Okay.
Cape Girardeau, June 19th. A dull gray bullet-shaped object seen for several seconds by physicist Harley Rutledge. You want to talk about somebody who knows his stuff? So.
Yeah.
June 20th, Fort Wayne, Indiana. A large hovering object with red lights and a dome was witnessed, but then moved away at very high speed.
Oh my goodness.
June 28th, UFO lands at a mobile home park in Columbia, Missouri. Now this one has sound reported, but again, electromagnetic effects because everything turns off in the trailer park. Everything restarts after it leaves. The animals are going crazy. There is physical trace evidence of this one. There's burn marks on the ground, and the treetops are chopped off.
Oh, wow.
It is claimed that it was a military helicopter.
Oh, of course.
And that these yokels just didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Sure, that's exactly what
100%
happened.
What happened.
Yes.
Okay. Back to Illinois, same day. A cone-shaped UFO with multicolored lights at treetop level, this is in Sandoval, Illinois, witnesses said their eyes remained foggy for 2 days.
Oh, yeah, I don't love that.
Yeah. So June 29th, this is in Bayview, Idaho, steady white lights moved swiftly and silently over Lake Pend, Oriole, and it was witnessed for about an hour. 13 UFOs individually, if you count the lights individually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Still alive.
Like a gang, you know, like
Sharks
and the Jets, you know, like a gang of aliens.
It could be, you know, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. I wonder if they have a theme song. Anyway.
I don't know.
You know what, Mark? We're in June. Are we going to have to do more of these episodes?
Because I think we're going to have to do a part two just for the fall because October, November is insane. So let's just try to get up to that here. So,
good luck with that. I think we might make it through July.
All right. We're working on it. So, all right. This is in Brands Flats, Virginia. They described three floating beings, each 3 foot tall, floating just above the ground with shoes that looked like they were several inches thick. Now, when the reports of these came out, it sounded exactly like Hopkinsville, where they were silvery.
Or really small Kiss boots.
Yeah, it could be. 1973, it's possible. So
yeah, I'm throwing that out there. It's a possibility.
Again, no real date in July. Tucson, Arizona. July was definitely like the quiet month. Five bright round lights observed performing aerial maneuvers for about 1 hour was witnessed by 4 air traffic controllers on multiple radars. The objects form up and head east at high speed. They were tracked until they vanished over White Sands, New Mexico.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the objects moved and turned at speeds our best fighters could not have even come close to, said one controller. The following day, squadron commanders at White Sands were instructed to never discuss this event.
Oh, I don't work that.
All we've got are the air traffic and controller reports. Everything else from White Sands that day, redacted.
Of course it is.
Yep. And now, on the other side of the world, Hokkaido, Japan, a night watchman saw an orange light descend and emit green rays. And then it moved over the water and it extended a transparent tube, sucking up water, accompanied by a cicada-like noise.
Oh.
The craft approached, revealing windows and 2 eerie, shadow-like figures. He was left paralyzed and later experienced physical effects like foggy vision and a pain in his lower back where there was a scar.
Ooh, I don't love that.
And the objects eventually departed at high speed.
Yeah, but I don't like the scar.
No. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. August 6th, 1973. This is in Australia, near Ivy Tanks, Australia. Again, a humanoid figure in a silver outfit is observed by a motorist. as he's driving down the highway. He reports it to the police. No other details. Just thought it was interesting that a humanoid in silver, it just fits all our other motifs.
This time, again, there wasn't easy access to silver. So all these silver dress things, it's just bizarre.
And again, I'm kind of stretching on that. I'm like, I don't know if that counts, but I think it does. Because it just, when I put in these search requirements and start digging in, I'm like, wait a minute. So, and again, thank you, internet. I wouldn't have been able to do this. This would have been a lifetime of research before. I could see why people didn't report on this year much, because if, unless you put this all together, it's just a bunch of reports. But when you start looking at all these different databases and you put it together, I'm like, there's a picture here. This was a big year.
Yeah, we always say report, report, report.
Exactly.
You know, part of learning about these things.
Yeah.
Not, because we're not supposed to be.
Yeah. August 12th, there are three reports in upstate New York. Westerlo, Schenectady, and Colony. Westerlo, a resident saw UFO lights in a triangular formation, reversing direction rapidly. In Schenectady, three lights played tag in the sky, this guy said.
Looked like
they were playing tag. And in Colony, a father and three children saw three bright lights traversing the horizon rapidly with swirling, but then sometimes stationary movement.
That's interesting that it's all the same kind of thing in three different areas.
Three different areas, same night. Again, three police reports. No reason for these people to know each other. Somebody saw something.
Yeah.
All right. And then mid-August, Carnia, Italy. This one, a painter saw 2 3-foot tall beings with claw-like hands of 8 fingers on each hand. Saw them coming at him, and then he had temporary paralysis, and then woke up and reported it because he didn't want it to happen to anybody else.
It doesn't sound like that would be easy to stop, but no. I get his intonation.
Yeah, I think he might have had a little too much paint near him, but, you know, and not enough ventilation, but it's still in a report from the same year. Except I think this year is just crazy. So, all right, let's quickly zip September in these last few minutes here.
Okay.
And then we will, October may be its own episode. October, November is just insane. All right, so September. This is Mark's month. All right, September 3rd, Nashville, Tennessee, a changing shape UFO, right? A woman and her three children described a light that changed colors, and then a black triangular object with red lights and 3 white lights rapidly crossed the sky behind it.
That's weird.
That sounds like our black triangles we've been seeing and reporting on for decades now. I think it is the worst kept secret in the American fleet that we have this device, that this plane that we can't talk about. I do think that it was chasing something else. I mean, maybe that's why we classified this thing, is it chases UFOs. All right. So September 9th, this is in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Again, I got not a lot on this one, except a humanoid figure wearing a green shiny suit was observed on the side of the road by a biker, apparently holding something that looked like a gun. So we reported it to the police. And when the police arrived, not much other details, except there were strange burn marks on the ground where it was reported.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if they're taking environmental readings. That's my gut feeling right now. I don't think it was a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, they seem to show up for a brief, do some sort of cataloging, and then gone. It's weird.
Now, green reminds me, green shiny suit reminds me of Indra Gold, right?
Yeah.
That was his thing. So September 10th, Durham, New Hampshire. This one's interesting. This one is a bright light flashed through the sky. It comes down, the light behind the trees, the witness reports. And then there's a shadowy figure coming out of the bright light towards them. Then the next thing you know, they woke up in their car and it wouldn't start. And they had to call for a tow.
Weird. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, they had stopped to look out at this thing, and then they woke up in their car. September 25th.
Okay.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Ooh.
This is a sheriff The law enforcement report observes a whirring, hovering craft using spotlights on the ground. Then it made a strange noise like a loud hum and whooshed into the sky. That's the police report.
Whooshed. I like it. It's got a sound effect. It also is describing the same sound that they did in the beginning, which is the sound of a generator.
Yep. And then this actually was reported in the Tennessean newspaper. All right. September 26th. This is Sydney, North Carolina. Not far away. Next day. Again, strange light, strange noise like a hum, followed by a silver wearing humanoid that was seen by a witness. And then the guy's name was L. Hamilton. That's all I've got. And then the strange humanoid seemed to wave and then was surrounded by white light and vanished.
Oh, he got beamed up. Beamed up.
Now, that's through September.
I think we're going to have to do a part two.
Because October and November are the big ones. And December quieted down.
Because I feel like every day in January something happened.
Yeah, it did. I mean, but just wait till October. Oh my God, I was overloaded researching October. So,
well, I can't wait for part two. And hopefully, you know, all of our lovely friends in the skies are okay with us talking about 1973.
Yeah. So let's look into, let's think about this for a minute. What were the common themes? What did we hear the most on this?
We heard the silver suited person.
Yep.
We had the lights. There were several craft with the little bubble top, which I do think is the BWs up there.
Yeah.
And then for the ones that did hear sound, they heard the humming generator type noise.
And so many were silent. Didn't make any noise. And so many of them were making maneuvers impossible for craft.
No, exactly. And again, this is not a time when there's a billion satellites being shot into space or 80 million jet planes all over the skies were pretty empty.
Yep. And I just was like, holy cow, how many reports are there for one year?
UFO, I was like, oh, I wonder what he found now. I guess you found everything now.
This was the year, I was looking into one specific case that we'll get to in October for a potential new project. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if there's anything else happened that day. Because when we looked into Hopkinsville, that's when we discovered that the Evansville incident was the same day.
Yeah.
And I had never put those two together, and I don't think anybody had for a long time. And now it's like, oh, Evansville happened on St. Louis, Hopkinsville. I'm like, wait a minute. That was us. We figured that out.
Well, it's like you and the other historian that figured out the Flatwoods and the McGill thing.
Yeah, Frank Ficino. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he figured out that Tampa thing, and I figured out the Tampa thing on the same day as Flatwoods. Come on, that's just insanity. A plane crash on the same day. And that's what I haven't even done yet with this, is I want to look up plane crashes and other strange incidents of missing people that might tie into these same days and same areas. Come on.
Well, you'll have to check that out before we re-meet for the next episode, the part two of the UFOs.
Sounds like a plan. So thank you, gang, for letting me just ramble off incident reports. It was just so much.
I hope you're so driving much. Around at night listening to this episode when you hear that, because that wouldn't be creepy at all.
No. Just watch for, you know, when you're watching out and you see those weird lights in the sky. Oh, my gosh. Report, because look at this. If people hadn't reported, we wouldn't know any of this stuff.
That's true.
And some of this is just came back to light because it had been classified or just not well documented. And now, thanks to MUFON, NICAP, CUFOs, we're finding all this stuff, and they're combining these databases and getting things together. I'm floored. I was literally floored by this. I could not believe how much in one year.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Basically a random year. Yeah, and it was basically a random year by my
part two, Mr. Muncie.
Yep, sounds like a plan. So
How are you going to take us away from this that won't piss off our ex and, you know?
I have no idea how to take this one out. I was just going to say, gang, this was incredible researching this. And again, documentation just made it all amazing. Thank you, patrons, for keeping this show on the road here. We're throwing some special stuff up on Patreon. We'd love for y'all to go visit. You can sign up for free and follow us there and get some things. But if you throw a couple bucks our way, you get a few bonuses. This catalog of UFO and alien encounters is just one of many years in UFOlogy that you could just find super patterns. Recurring vehicle interference.
It's ridiculous. Traces, so,
humanoid encounters. There's even some other stuff. We're going to be getting into some fourth kind up ahead. So,
oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So this is stuff, direct statements from witnesses, civilian investigators, law enforcement. Shoot, even the media left this legacy of documentation. Now, a lot of it's contentious. I give it that. But we got to keep debating in modern UFO research. I mean, look, at this point, they haven't talked about this in Congress. But now we do.
Yeah, that's true.
Even the biggest skeptics have got to say, this timeline, oh my gosh, it's got to be something historical, if nothing else.
No, there's definitely something. And again, preternatural. What is it? What costs all these lights? Because you can't have technology that's suddenly better than every other technology when you're talking about the maneuverability of these ships. That doesn't just happen like that. So with that, Mark, before you keep going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I know.
Blue Book was closed in 1969. So no official military body was investigating this. And that led to some conspiracy theories, public anxieties. But these wonderful organizations sprang up to handle the reports. And we're here to handle the reports now. We appreciate you all that send those to us. Oh my gosh, keep watching the skies. Keep looking up. And we'll see you on the other side.